Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined on stage by three people. Sean Hegarty from the ESB, who's going to take you through a presentation of what they're doing. Barry O'Sullivan, who has, on behalf of the state, produced the Economic Task Force for the Shannon Estuary. He'll make some comments later. And Pat Keating, as Chief Executive of Shannon Foynes Port, which is a critical piece of infrastructure that will be instrumental in achieving the ambition to develop that offshore wind energy out into the Atlantic Ocean. So I'm going to call on them a little bit later just to make some introductory remarks. So, Sean.
Thanks, Senator Dooley.
Thank you.
So, Sean Hegarty is my name. I'm with ESB probably about 20 years. So, net zero transition manager now, but I suppose one of the most significant and maybe the highlight of my career to date has been working in this place in Money Point, where we had the pleasure yesterday of welcoming Senator Dooley and Commissioner Simpson. So I was there for 4 years as a station manager, during which time we launched that Green Atlantic concept, which I want to just talk to you about a little bit about today in 2021. So I suppose we're here to talk about power in the future. And what I want to talk to you about in just in a few remarks is how we are in ESB, right here in County Clare now, powering the future, we think. Hopefully by the end of the few slides, you'll agree with me. So for those of you who aren't local to Ireland or even to Clare, and I know many of you aren't, ESB just is a vertically integrated, I suppose, traditional electricity utility. We have networks businesses north and south. We have a generation business where I work, which is in Ireland and the UK, with all the technologies from traditional through to the more novel and recent, and then customer solutions, gas and electricity retail, and some fibre and some of these other things that we're doing nowadays. So traditional vertically integrated utility. And for those people on the top, you can see there we're looking for 1,000 new people. So talk to me later, please. So we are in a growth, as are many people in this industry, in a growth mode. Invested about $1 billion this year. I think about $1.2 billion in Ireland, just building the assets that are going to fuel this transition that we've heard about this morning. So I suppose before we go forward, just to say a little bit, we have a long history in County Clare. In fact, ESB was formed in County Clare. Unfortunately, for those of us who live here, our headquarters is now in Dublin, but we were formed in 1927 in Ardna Croíochta. So just before I talk about what we're doing now, we go right back. If we'd been here 100 years ago, a company called Siemens Schuckert would have been talking to the Irish government, which was 2 years old now at the time, about building this, what we now know as the Shannon Scheme, or Ardna Croíochta. At the time, the largest hydroelectric scheme in the world, only replaced by the Hoover Dam. And that's a state that was 2 years old, and we decided to invest 20% of the revenue of the state at the time in building this. So I suppose, just in terms of what we're talking about now, anything we're going to talk about today isn't of the scale of that. Anything we're going to talk about doing in Ireland today isn't of that scale. And I suppose we owe it to the people the courage, the risk-taking appetite that they had at the time to invest in that power plant, and ultimately, you know, it brought light and heat, yes, but it brought prosperity to Ireland in the decades that followed. So that was back in 1927, ESB was formed, and I suppose we came back in another crisis, I suppose, and we're in another crisis right now, but in the oil crisis of the 70s and 80s, and ESB built Money Point, the large coal-fired power station out in Money Point, 900 megawatts. So, and that has been, I suppose it's fair to say, since it opened in 1985, the workhorse of the Irish system. So it provided, it also provided light and heat and system security of supply when oil and other imports were challenged. So it's been the workhorse of the system since then. So those are two huge assets, I suppose, we have right here in Clare. And I suppose today we're here to talk about the future. So what's next now? What's next for us in ESB and for everyone else? Many of you in this room will be interested in what's next on the Shannon Estuary. And I suppose, having heard what we've just heard, none of us here will disagree that we have three, I think, very significant, probably interrelated challenges in the energy world, if you like. Climate change happening all around us, but also security of supply, and the Commissioner has talked eloquently about some of the challenges that we see with security of supply and have seen in recent years. And then, of course, the need for affordable energy to keep our economy going. So I suppose the story that I'm eager to tell you today, just in the next few slides, is what we in ESB feel, once again, now the Shannon Estuary, what part it can play in solving all three of those challenges that I've just described. So just maybe to set the scene for you first, some of you will know this and some not, but Ireland is a small country. We're one of the smallest countries in Europe by landmass. But if you look at the red line, that's the area of the seabed that Ireland owns, our European Economic Zone, or exclusive, our EEZ, if you like. So that's the seabed area that Ireland owns, seven times our landmass. So seven times our landmass. And I suppose maybe why is that important? This is a map of the wind speeds around the coast of Europe, with purple being the best. So you can see if you put those two charts together that not only have we got the best wind in Europe, but we've got an awful lot of it. We've got an awful lot of this resource off our coast. And I suppose the beauty of the wind is it's not going anywhere. It's infinite. It's always going to keep blowing. It's not going to uproot and move to a different country. It's a stable, long-term, something we can rely on, and it's not going to be relocated to a different place. So it offers, and the lads from the task force will talk more about what this offers for us as a country. So you can see there, you know, this is a word that's been used frequently, but Ireland has the opportunity, when you put those two things together, to be an offshore wind superpower. But why haven't we up until this point? And I suppose the waters off the coast where the purple is, there is deep water. So offshore wind, we've seen, has taken off in many parts of Europe. Fixed bottom, where the turbine sits on the bottom of the seabed. Our water is too deep. So you can do that in waters to about 60 or 70 metres. Off here, it's 100 metres, up to 200 metres. So the water's too deep. So we haven't been able to, until this point, tap into that resource that's off our coast. But I suppose innovation in the offshore wind sector has changed that, and I suppose this is the game changer, if you like. So bringing together that innovation in offshore wind, fixed offshore wind, where, as I said, the turbine was fixed to the bottom of the seabed, innovation there, and bringing it together with technology from oil and gas, which I know many of you have a background in from talking last night. So bringing those together, building these floaters, which are anchored to the seabed, depth is no longer an issue. So we can move out into that zone I showed you on the last slide where we have that, where we have the deep water, but also those enormous and constant, uninterrupted, if you like, wind speeds. So Ireland can now tap into the enormous resource that's off our shores, and Pat will talk in a moment about just how big that could be. But suffice to say, it's many, many times what we need here on the darkest, coldest evening of the year. But I suppose there are some challenges harnessing the wind. The wind, as we know, doesn't always blow, and you can't store wind. So we have to solve that challenge as well. And I suppose that's my next slide. Green hydrogen. I probably don't need to say much about green hydrogen to this audience, but passing electricity through water to break up the hydrogen and the oxygen molecules, and you release oxygen, you release hydrogen. So green hydrogen is using that offshore wind resource that we have here through the water, which again we have, and turn it into this green hydrogen gas. And we see in ESB, we see a number of big opportunities for Ireland, both to use it ourselves, and I think it's fair to say we have far more than we need. Others don't. Not everyone has that opportunity that I've just shown you in those slides. Not everyone has that offshore resource. Not everyone has that great wind. But everyone needs, as this commissioner has just mentioned, everyone needs to move and to get away from the gas sources that we were using historically. So we have a huge opportunity in Ireland. And I suppose those are, you know, storing our own wind as hydrogen or a derivative, and then turning that back into electricity when the wind isn't blowing and when we don't have it. Replacing the natural gas in our big energy consumers. Lots of people still need gas and will still need gas or a gas fuel. So we can replace that. We can decarbonize transport. People talk about the things that you can't put a plug on. Aeroplanes, ships, they still need a fuel, a non-fossil fuel. So again, a hydrogen or hydrogen derivative. And I suppose lastly, you know, having done all of that here in Ireland, we have far more than we'll need. Allowing for all of the growth that we see, we have far more than we need. So we have an enormous opportunity then to become a net exporter of either electricity or hydrogen or both, or molecules of some sort. Why are we so sure about this here in the Shannon Estuary? I suppose we see, you know, there's eight things that if you write down what do you need to make this work? There's eight things, and we have all of them here. We have all of them here in the Shannon Estuary. I'm not sure anywhere else in the world does, but we do. You know, we're beside the wind. I showed you; it's there. We don't have to look for it. We don't have to drill for it. It's there. We have deep water in the ports, we have land, we have good access to the grid. Money Point is sitting out in West Clare, we have Tarbert out there. We're on the electrical superhighway, if you like. Money Point's electrically in Dublin, connected to the grid in Dublin. And we have all of those other attributes. So we're ideally placed in the Shannon Estuary to take advantage of these. So I suppose the opportunity that we see in Money Point, where we had the visit yesterday, so Money Point, as I said, built to deal with another crisis back in the late 70s, early 80s. We have said Money Point will come off coal 2025. And it'll be available on oil then as a backup only outside of the energy market, but as a backup only to make sure that the security of supply that it's afforded us for these decades is still there until it can be replaced by something else that's different. So I suppose having looked at the attributes of that Shannon estuary, where some Money Point is sitting out there on the estuary, ESB has decided that we'll reconfigure that site, the deep water, the land, the grid, we'll reconfigure that site and help Ireland, as it was, realise that green dream to produce the offshore wind, the hydrogen and so on. So I suppose in 2021, we announced the Green Atlantic at Money Point, and we are now in the process. I'll talk to you just on my last slide about the four steps. But this, we've got some artist's impressions, but we're moving. We're going to transfer that site. The power station is still there in the middle. It'll hopefully be fueled by something different in the future. But that it's just for scale. So you can see we're going to use that vast site. It's 480 acres now, right on the Shannon. We've got the deepest water outside of Rotterdam in Europe, just there at Money Point. The deepest water outside of Rotterdam. So we have all these advantages, and similarly up the river in Foynes. So our plan, I suppose, really is to deploy these big bases, these enormous bases that you saw in the picture, these floaters, if you like, into the water. So we will, we'll use our land. You need a lot of space to do that. We'll produce zero carbon fuels of some sort, as I said, using hydrogen or a derivative. And I suppose ultimately turn that fuel back into electricity and ship that electricity back into the grid, replacing the coal that we have at the moment. So that's the concept. We're off and running. I suppose four stages to what we're calling the Green Atlantic at Money Point concept. The first is done. We visited yesterday. So I told you a few minutes ago that Ardna Crusha was the biggest power plant in the world, biggest hydropower plant in the world in its day. We have just built and commissioned the biggest flywheel, or it was at the time, I won't promise now, but it was last June, the biggest flywheel in the world for it's, I suppose, to use simple language, it's a shock absorber for the system. So as we take off these big thermal spinning masses, big generators, you need something else to give you that inertia that they gave you. So we've put in this flywheel, as I say, largest in the world, right here in County Clare again, following on from Ardna Crusha. That's up and running since June. The second phase, which is the hub, reconfiguring the whole site into a completely different environment for putting together these turbines and launching them into the Atlantic. We're in the planning process for that. We have some designs done. We have an application in right now to do offshore studies and site investigations. So we create the hub. Once we come off coal, it frees up the coal yard. We start to demolish the furniture that's there, the coal handling furniture, and reconfigure the site. Thereafter, we'll build Money Point 1 and 2, two offshore wind farms, about 1.5 gigawatts. So Money Point at the moment is 0.9, so a large-scale offshore wind. And when we have all of that done, I suppose we will use that renewable electricity to create hydrogen or a derivative of hydrogen, some derivative. So those are the plans we have in Money Point. It would be wrong not to mention the joint venture project we have just also in County Clare with Simply Blue Group, the Saoirse floating hydro scheme. So that's another very exciting, and I think a world first at that scale when we get it built, a wave energy device, which is very complementary to what we're doing with the offshore wind. So that's it. So I'll just leave you these three messages. I suppose absolutely ESB, I mean, we have our own net zero 2040 strategy. That is our plan to be net zero as well. We feel a responsibility to lead that in Ireland. We'll contribute to the ambition. County Clare, and the lads will talk more about this, and the Midwest is a huge opportunity to play our part for Ireland and for Europe, because not everyone has the advantages we have. And I suppose lastly, all of that results in us creating an energy industry, a whole new industry, a whole new series of employments, jobs, GAA teams that can be populated, schools that can be filled. All of that is available to us if we can grab this opportunity. So I'll leave it at that, and the chaps from the task force will say a little bit more. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I'm now going to introduce Pat Keating, as I said, who's the Chief Executive of Shannon Foyne's Port. And he'll talk about the role of the port in serving the demands of those operators that will ultimately capture the wind off our Atlantic coast. Anything, Pat? Your time is running out, so you better get started.
Yeah. If the technology will oblige, I certainly try to breeze through it. See what the point. Sorry, the screen isn't actually. Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. Slideshow maybe. Perfect. So thanks, Timmy. Yeah. So CEO of Shannon Foyne's Port Company. Shannon Foyne's Port Company is the largest bulk port company in the country. It's a tier one port in national policy, and it's a core corridor port under the EU 10T. So it's on actually two corridors. So in terms of policy recognition in both Europe and nationally, it's a hugely significant port asset. Our harbour area is the entire lower Shannon estuary, and I'm just going to skip on to a few slides. So 500 square kilometres of water, 32 metre channel depths, 1,200 hectares of land zoned for future development along a number of sites listed there. So that really provides the raw material for what we're going to talk about this morning, which is, again, and as Sean was talking about, the potential for offshore renewables. And why the Shannon estuary? And basically, it really comes down to the characteristics of the Shannon estuary, but also then the proximity of the estuary to that huge resource that you can see there. So back in 2022, we updated our master planning to create a roadmap, and we engaged a leading global engineering company called Bechtel to assist. So basically, what we've done is come up with a roadmap of, you know, we hear about the huge potential offshore in the Atlantic, but what are we going to do to actually harness them, and how are we going to enable that? So this, our plan with regard to the Shannon estuary is about that. And there you can see 70 gigawatts close to shore. The numbers there represent tow times or tug speed times to get out to the asset or the resource, and are based on available with weather windows. So it's kind of a marriage of the practical here. So it's drilling down into what's possible using existing technology and capabilities. So 70 gigawatts, which is roughly 10 times our peak demand. Interesting to note the landmass, the EEZ map that Sean put up, is 7.5 times our landmass. That has a potentially 650 gigawatts available. But the 70 is what's currently practical from our point of view. You can also see then the current Irish grid infrastructure with 400 kV in the 220 lines north-south shores to the estuary. So not only has the estuary got huge maritime advantages, it's got grid infrastructure already in place, and Ireland's largest grid infrastructure, substation infrastructure, north-south shores as well, right beside that power source. And as we heard this morning, this is an infinite supply. The product here is an infinite supply of green energy. So when we're looking at this, you know, from a port perspective, what do we need to do to be able to enable or harness this? And what does the sector need? What do the wind farm developers need? So from a supply chain point of view, we looked at different demand scenarios and basically converted those demand scenarios and turned it around into, well, what does the supply side look like, and how much port capacity do we need per each scenario? So you can see there 10, 20 or 30 gigawatts by 2050. I won't go into too much detail given the time constraints, but that really converts back into a 25 to 30 turbine manufacturer per year for the 10 gigawatt scenario, or a 500 megawatt run rate. From that then we were able to determine key space and so forth, and what was needed in terms of our infrastructure to support. The red line on the graph is that key structure, which can be new key infrastructure that can be phased then over as our demand increases and our supply capacity increases along with that. So therefore, moving on then and looking at this from a holistic perspective, not just port infrastructure. So what is needed on the estuary to harness 10, 20 or 30 gigawatts by 2050? And basically, there's four critical projects. I'm happy to say two of them are underway. The first one is basically a turbine turbine integration facility at Foyne's Island. So that's in the ports remit. So essentially, we're looking at building new port infrastructure to accommodate that activity. The second piece is what Sean spoke about at Moneypoint, which is that substructure manufacture. So the substructure is manufacture, and these are big devices, 20,000 ton weight, basically. Assemble, manufacture that Moneypoint, floated up the Foynes for final integration, substructures, turbines and cell blades, etc. The next key piece of this is wet storage. And again, this is a unique characteristic in the Shannon Estuary. Wet storage is critically important because the manufacturing process for your substructures and for your integration facility will be a steady state basis. So those 25 or 30 or 100 turbines per year will be manufactured on an even steady keel basis, if you like. But because of weather issues and weather windows and the robust environment of the Atlantic, you're not going to be able to tow those finished products or turbines out to site on a 12-month basis. So this is where the wet storage come in. It's like a big inventory storage on the water, if you like. You need 15 metres plus of water in sheltered areas. And again, the Shannon Estuary is unique in Ireland, if not in Europe, to have such available space. And again, we've marked out and mapped out, and you can see there, under phase one, we need 280 hectares of wet storage to accommodate weather windows and so forth. So basically, three of the key projects required are currently being worked on, as we're also working on the wet storage consenting process as well with MARA. So basically, a lot of the supply chain requirements to unleash that resource or harness that resource are being currently worked on the estuary. The fourth critical piece is an O&M base on the estuary, and that again can be accommodated either at Foynes or elsewhere. There are other potentials then as well, such as at Carcon, for example, blade manufacturing in time. Once our run rates become established, obviously it's going to be attractive to manufacture blades and so forth on the estuary as well as constructing end-of-life facilities for the recycling of all of those wind farms in time. You can see as well, we've mapped out from a grid perspective, and these are basically cable corridors. The scale of the resource will require a multitude of cables. These corridors that are displayed there hook into the existing onshore substructure at both Moneypoint and Tarbert, but also don't conflict with shipping channels or shipping anchorages as well. So you can see from that a really holistic approach to it, and the big infrastructural projects at Foynes and Moneypoint are well underway, and there's a strong, indeed, collaboration between Shannon Foynes Port Company and the ESB in that regard as well. So we're working in unity, and both of our projects complement each other, which is important from a planning point of view as well. I suppose, just conscious of time, this slide shows the potential next stage of a demand route to market once that power is started to be produced from offshore wind turbines, which is likely to be early next decade. There's potential for significant hydrogen facilities on the south shore of the Shannon Estuary as well, up to 4 gigawatt hydrogen manufacturing facility with downstream methanol and ammonia facilities as well. But just to give you an indication of the scale of the quay that we're looking at in Foynes Island at the moment, which has been planned. This here is 800 metres, about 160,000 square metres of quay set down. Those turbines are roughly the height of the Eiffel Tower, and you can see the size of the rigger cranes there compared to a normal container crane, basically being dwarfed by the scale of this. So, and across the way there on the shaded area is the Carcon facility, which can be used for end of life. So currently for this project, we're going through the pre-planning process. We hope to be lodge a planning application with Ombord Pleanála next year. We've about 3 years of pre-planning done on this project. So it's well underway. It's been actually, the pre-planning piece has been co-funded by Europe under the Connecting Europe facility as well. So it is moving, and I suppose one of our big asks in relation to policy and national policy is that the Atlantic area would be DMAPped, which is the designation required to follow the plan-led approach, to designate the seabed for offshore wind farm construction. That's critically important. It's a trigger for our infrastructure, and it's also a trigger for the industry to get moving and start harnessing that huge resource. So I think the one message today probably is the DMAPs are absolutely critical at this point of time, and we're at that critical path stage now where they need to be delivered. So I'm not going to go on any further, so maybe I think Barry wants to say a bit.
Thanks, Pat. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be very, very brief, right, in the interest of time, Timmy. If the, for the Commissioner and for people from Dublin, this is a picture of Bale Beach back in Kerry. It's, if you're in Money Point, you look to the right and it's back there. It's unique for a number of reasons. Maybe if you're for the Commissioner after in Money Point yesterday, it's unique because the wind isn't blowing, and that's fairly rare back there, right? For people from Clare, maybe, to see Kerry people with Hurleys, it might be unique. But they're actually people from Limerick on holidays. But the reason I show you this was that when I look at this, I see two things. Right, the first thing I see is that the Shannon Estuary, right? Because you know we got a lot of technical information here, but it's very simple, right? When God created the world, on the second day she realised that Europe was going to be cold, so she spun the world in the other way and created the Gulf Stream. And the Gulf Stream hits Ireland and Northwest Europe head on. Right, and then she said, you know, these people are going to eventually realize that I'm giving them all the energy they need with the wind blowing in their face and the sun shining on their heads. So to put the icing on the cake, she created the Shannon Estuary, because she put this massive wind resource that Pat showed you and Sean showed you, right? It's all these giggly watts, right? But there's enough power there for Europe. So she created this estuary with this sheltered deep water, right next to it, right, where you can make it happen. So there's a huge responsibility now. This is really what I want to talk to you about, is responsibility and belief. There's a huge responsibility on us here in Ireland now to stand up and be men of the match for Europe. Because we are the answer to energy security of supply and energy decarbonisation in Europe. And right now, 10% of that, which is 70 gigawatts, is available with the technology that is known today. And all that's holding us back now is self-belief. And do we have all the answers? Do we have every last decimal place of answers? No, we don't. But back 100 years ago, when the people that decided to go for Ardna Crusha and spent 25% of Irish government spending at the time on it, they didn't have all the answers either. But they were smart enough to go and get people in Europe to do it, right? And then they were smart enough then to let the people of this area get on and build it. We went to Siemens for the technology, but the people who built Ardna Crusha were from here. Right now, right around the estuary, and there's some of them here in the audience today, there are companies and industries that are leading in their own, they're leading globally in their own field. We have the capability. Companies and foreign direct investment comes here because of the quality of the education system and all the young people looking down on us here that are counting on us right now. In our task force, one of the pieces we did was a plan to bring power onshore by 2032. We spent about 3 months working on it, and all of the stakeholders, government, ports, wind developers, and everybody agreed that this can be done. The report is stuck on the first step now. And the first step, as Pat says, is this thing called a DMAP, which is really a circle in the water that says, you can go and survey there, you can put your wind turbines there. We're just stuck in first space. The people in 100 years ago delegated their policy. They decided a policy that Ireland was going to get, we need electricity to transform the economy. And then they had trust in ESB and in the region to go get it done. We still look today to Dublin for policy, but we ask now for the responsibility and the authority to get it done. We have three DMAPs. We want, if Minister McConnell is with us, let Donegal County Council do the Northwest DMAP. Let Clare County Council do the West DMAP. And let Cork County Council do this, to the south DMAP. We have the capability in the region. But without the first step, we can't move. And that's our ask. It's as simple as that. And after that, give us our heads and we'll go. Right? For the Commissioner, we have one other message. The Commissioner talked about the European Green Deal and the Inflation Reduction Act. We'd love to see both the US and Europe collaborate on innovation. And the place we would contend to do that is here. So most of us have cousins in America anyway. Right? We are the bridge between the two, and where better to do that innovation than on the edge of this massive wind resource? So ladies and gentlemen, our time has come. Let us be now the best ancestors that we can be, because some people fear that the water will rise and take away the beach. I fear that the young people here, that we let them down and they'll write home from Australia. Thank you very much.